Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter number 43, kind of opposite of last Sunday morning, we have a much shorter reading before us. Isaiah 43, let's read verses 18 and 19 and pull out of verse number 19 a phrase that we want to dwell upon and think about as 2017 comes to a conclusion. And we look at the possibility, though it's not here yet, and certainly we still may not see it, 2018 beginning at the stroke of midnight tonight. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We noticed a phrase in verse number 19. I will do a new thing. Just a few short hours, if the Lord allows us to see it, we will all be doing a new thing, and that is entering into a new year. Now, no doubt there are some that may just think, well, it's just another day. It's just another 24-hour period. It's just another sunset, sunrise, and midnight turning into a new day. But as we look at the calendar, this date has significance. And by the way, we mark time, it does as well. Because with the new day that tomorrow will be, it brings with us an exciting opportunity and a grand adventure of a new year. A new year lying before us. And so today, as we look out over the landscape of that new year and the hope thereof, let us see it laying before us as a field of freshly fallen snow. A certainly very vivid and very poignant example this morning. One that has been untouched by footsteps, unmolested by tire treads or other contaminants. Such a landscape of virgin snow is awe-inspiring to consider. It's sort of like a blank canvas before an artist with which he can do whatever he might please, however he might be inspired to paint. So we need to this morning think about that as considering verse number 19. I will do a new thing. The idea of a new year can be somewhat disconcerting because we have no idea what this year will hold. We have no idea what exactly will come to pass, but you know what? God certainly does. He already has all of that understood, already all of that planned and purposed, already all of that underway. But as far as we are concerned, He is doing a new thing in our life. There will be new days, new trials, new difficulties, new victories, new blessings. There will be new things in the new year that certainly do and will be wonderful to experience. But in connection with that thought of this year, the landscape thereof being that freshly fallen snow, unmolested snow before us, or the blank canvas before an artist, let us ponder the buzzword that is all around us this time of year, that is resolutions. That word that gets thrown around in marketing and pushed upon us from just about every angle that can be. For most, when this word is mentioned, exercise programs come to mind. People think about losing weight. For some people, it's money, financial items come to mind as belt tightening and budgeting is seen this time of year more. For a lot of people, apparently it's organizational items, because I think this time of year, those people that make those kinds of things make all their money for all the year, because people are more concerned about that kind of thing. So for a lot of people, when you hear the word resolution, they begin to think about these kind of thoughts, about making themselves look better, about making themselves more organized, about making themselves perhaps more disciplined with their money, and those kinds of things. Because of the hope and the promise and the opportunity of the new year that is before us, they will make what we call New Year's resolutions. Now, with all that in mind, including the blank canvas of the year before us, let me ask you this question. As you think about the idea of a new year, as you think about the idea of resolutions, as you normally would hear them bandied about, let me ask you this question instead of using the word resolution. What do you hope to accomplish this year? What do you hope to change in your life? How do you hope to grow in the Lord? How do you hope your life looks a year from now as you begin to look into yet another year? How do you think about your spiritual life in the year to come? As we think about the idea of resolutions, and some people just detest the idea and that sort of thing, but when you think about it, really, it's nothing more than the mere evaluation of our lives. It's nothing more than a dedicated planning for the future. It's nothing more than being intentional about the fact that we are not yet what we should be, realizing that there's yet time perhaps, and recognizing also that we still have the ability to make changes to be more like Christ. And those thoughts and those ideas are godly ones. They are useful and they are beneficial, and they need to be entertained by us. That is our purpose this morning. I believe the Jewish calendar is a proof of this. Because when you look at the Jewish calendar, what is the first month of the year? Now, I sometimes forget all of the names of the months of the Jewish calendars. But we know that the first month of the year begins with the observance of Passover at the 14th of that month. So the year begins for the Jewish individual with a consideration for the Passover, with a preparation for that coming feast, for the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, for the meal that they would share together, for the remembrance and the memorial of what God did for them in the land of Egypt and bringing them out and redeeming them unto Himself as a people. God obviously wanted them to be considering their great deliverance. We won't turn there, but in Exodus 12, He says unto Moses and unto Israel, let this be the beginning of months unto you. Meaning, before that time it wasn't. But God saw the importance unto them to make that observance be part of their new year celebration, planning, so that their whole year would be affected by the thoughts and the preparations of the Passover. God intended for it to shape their year, for them to evaluate their lives, as in the searching for leaven that they would do to rid it out of their homes. As in the keeping of that lamb so diligently, so importantly, and then sacrificially slaying it in the manner that they were to do so. It spoke to them so much of introspective communication. It spoke so much to them of sacrifice, of preparation, of purity, and so many other things. That's how they began their year. So I believe that it is among some of the most godliest things, spiritual things, and beneficial things for us to think about, for us to consider where we are now, where we need to be, and how do we get there to that place. So we want to think this morning about the idea or the subject of resolutions. And we're not going to talk about weight loss. We're not going to talk about quitting bad habits, well, we may speak of spiritual bad habits in a minute, but we're not going to talk about those kind of things. We're not talking about organizing your closets. The things is much more important. Themes of greater importance than that. Turn with me first to Psalm 51. The first part of making resolutions for the new year, that will make a difference in your life, because let's be honest, when you're just talking about weight, or when you're just talking about budget, or when you're just talking about organization, most of those times, those things fail. And they fail pretty quickly. I forget what the percentage is. I didn't commit it to memory. It wasn't all that important, but it's very high. Of those that say they want to do this, or they commit to do that, and then it doesn't happen. And so, when those things come to pass in life, and we fail at that, you know, we kind of let that transition over and think, well, I'd fail at those spiritual things too. But these things are of much more importance. So the first part about making resolutions that will make a difference in your life this year is to examine your life, your walk with the Lord, your spirituality, and ask God to cleanse, to renew, and to restore in the new year in all the ways that we need to be. Notice here in Psalm 51, verse number 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." As we face this new year, let us pray unto the Father and ask Him to cleanse our hearts. To cleanse our hearts from the sin, from the filth, from the bad spiritual habits that we have had over this past year. And let's be honest, we all have them. We all have those things. They accumulate upon us and in our hearts and in our lives, and they are stealing away our relationship with the Lord. They are hindering our walk with Him, our success in being more like Christ. Ask God this day, as the new year begins in just a few hours, to cleanse your heart from that which doesn't belong. For David, of course, this was in response to his sin with Bathsheba and ultimately then the slaying of Uriah. And so he understood that what was in his heart was not right. And we know that out of the heart come the issues of life, and it affects everything that we say, everything that we think, everything that we do, and everything that we are. Don't begin the new year with all of the same old stuff built up in your heart from last year. Ask God today to cleanse your heart, to remove it, those things that are not to be present or not to be in our heart. As David prayed this prayer, he desired it more than anything. It wasn't just words that flowed from his mouth. It wasn't just something that he knew he needed to say to technically be correct. But David desired more than anything to be right with God once again. And that's what we need to desire this year. We need to desire it more than anything. Ask God to cleanse our heart. And we'll make this point, I'm sure, more than once. But another thing about resolutions we need to realize is that it's not once and done. And so we talk about it this time of year because, just like in December, people are thinking about the birth of Christ. This time of year, we're thinking about this kind of thing. And it's a good time of year to start with a clean slate, to evaluate things. But you know what? Resolution needs to be more than just today, more than just tomorrow, but a continual and ongoing process whereby we examine ourselves and ask God to cleanse our hearts. But also, David here prays in verse number 10 for a renewal of the Spirit. Renew in me. Renew in me, he says at the end of verse number 10. A right spirit. A right spirit within me. We need to make sure that not only do we ask for God's cleansing of the heart, but that we would have a right spirit once again. How often are we invaded by the wrong one? How often do we go through days and weeks and months of time during the year and have the wrong spirit? Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that we are not given to the spirit of fear. But how often do we allow the spirit of fear to work in our lives? And we are given to the wrong spirit. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15. Instead of the spirit of fear, we need to walk in light of the spirit of adoption that we have been given, whereby we have a relationship with the Father and can cry unto Him, as it says here, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In essence, David is saying, that's gone. The spirit whereby I can cry unto the Father, it's gone, and it's been replaced with the wrong one. The spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of discontent, the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of envy, pride, and many other things come into our lives. And we allow the wrong spirit to overtake us so very often. Isaiah chapter 11 in verse number 2 has several of these spirits that we need to be given to. And these need to be what we evaluate our life to see. Isaiah chapter 11 in verse number 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Those are the kinds of spirits that we need to have upon us. Now we know the Holy Spirit resides within if we're saved by the grace of God. And we know that therein He works, therein He convicts, therein He leads and teaches, therein He reveals truth. But we also know that as we go through this life, we allow other spirits to overtake us. And they are very obvious when we have the wrong spirit. When we are in the wrong place, might be another way to put it. We need to be very careful about that. Brother Mike mentioned in his Sunday school class this morning, you walk into a room, you know, you have an effect on it. And how you walk in and the spirit you have has that great effect. And so many times we're in the wrong spirit. We come in the doors of the church and it's inexplicable and nobody really knows what it is, but all of a sudden it's just like it deflates, brings down, because we have the wrong spirit so often. We need to have the right spirit. Pray to God that He would renew a right spirit within us. We need to seek a refreshing of the spirit and have the right spirit within us at all times. You can read through the examples of Saul and it says very clearly an evil spirit overtook him. David would come and play the harp and it would help, but an evil spirit would bring him down. An evil spirit would drive him away from God. And so we need to pray the turning of the calendar, at the cleansing of the slate, at the starting of a new year, as we examine our life, let us pray to God for a right spirit this year as we face the challenges of life, because it makes a difference. It really does. And people see that spirit more than they hear your words. Sometimes more than they see your action, they perceive your spirit. And if the spirit isn't right, the others, they don't really matter a whole lot. So we need to have that right spirit within us. But then in verse number 12, we see here that David prays for a restoration. He prays here for a restoration of the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We need to seek the Lord this year and ask Him to restore that joy that is ours as we experience the salvation of the Lord. This isn't just the newfound excitement, that would be some of it, when we are first saved and are babes in Christ, but it is also the ability to have joy in the salvation of the Lord no matter the circumstances of our life. We need to have that joy this year. You have and are saved by the grace of God this morning. Then there is nothing that can happen to you this year, that is, one, outside of the will and plan of God, and two, that is ultimately bad for you according to God's will, plan, and purpose. Now there may be some things that happen to you that aren't pleasant, that feel bad, that even hurt in many, many ways, but the most important thing cannot be taken away from you, and that is your salvation in the Lord. Therefore, joy in that. Rejoice in that. Challenge yourself this year to rejoice in your salvation. This year could be filled with joy over your salvation more than any previous year. And I'm here to tell you that's something your preacher can't deliver, that's something your Sunday school teacher cannot teach you, that is something that a song leader or anybody else can't give to you, but something that you must seek and find in the Lord yourself. And so we see that making resolutions here, they have to begin with an examination of self. Examine the heart. Examine the spirit. Examine your salvation and see what is transpiring there, and understand that there's room for improvement in all fronts. Be honest with yourself as you make that examination and see that this year is filled with opportunities to make all of those things better. Filled with opportunities. God desires for us to grow in all of these things. But what I'm learning in life is that you have to be intentional about those things or they will not improve. It goes for so much. Relationships, parenting, whatever it is. You've got to be intentional about it. And that's what making a resolution is about. It's about being intentional about what you're doing. First, examining yourself. And then second, the second part of making resolutions that will make a difference in your life is to understand what a resolution really is. Understand what the word resolution is all about. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. This verse touches on the searching that we have already talked about from Psalms. But it also points us to us evaluating and then turning unto the Lord as the second part of this. Evaluating self and then turning unto the Lord. Notice here in verse number 40. Lamentations 3 and verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in heaven. Lift it up. Show Him what's therein, though He already knows. Search your heart. And then, the second step is turn again unto the Lord. Some might call this revival. Certainly, it is a refreshing, a reviving, a turning again unto the Lord. But the point is, as we make and think about resolutions, as we think about entering into the new year and serving the Lord in 2018, let us examine ourselves and then, seeing us for who we are, turn again unto the Lord. Turn again unto the Lord. These resolutions, and as we're thinking about it this morning, they're not frivolous or vain promises made to cause others to think better of ourselves, you know, to elevate our person. That's just pride. But as we consider what a resolution is, we need to understand its intent is to improve our spiritual lives. Its intent is to draw us closer to the Lord in order to honor and glorify Him more and more in our lives. About planning, about being intentional. So let us think about what a resolution is, or think about this word. What it is about a resolution that will change our lives and draw us closer to the Lord. First of all, when you think about a resolution, it can be a goal set to change lifestyle, improve character, or correct behavior. Now, when you talk about New Year's resolutions, that's really the way most people think about it. And when you apply it to the physical, we've already given examples of how most of the time it's applied. But let's take and apply that spiritually. Let's take and look at that spiritually. A resolution can be a goal. A goal set to change spiritual lifestyle. To improve spiritual character or to correct spiritual behavior in our life. Let us make a resolution. If you don't like that word, then say, let us set a goal. Let us make a promise. Let us be intentional about how we live spiritually this year. Let us, as we have examined our life, recognize that we are a long way from being like Christ. Every one of us are. We're a long way from being like Christ. We need to set some goals to help us attain to being more and more like Him. We need to push ourselves. We need to plan. A failure to plan is planning to fail. And at that, we always succeed. What's that mean? That means that if you don't plan, if you fail to plan, then you're going to fail. You know, there's no other option. There's nothing else. And in that, we'll be successful, and there will just be failure. We can set goals, or we can resolve to be more diligent in prayer. Who doesn't need that in order to communicate better with God? To meditate upon the Word and promises of God more often. Those kinds of things. I'm not trying to build a list. But just think about the many ways, the many goals that you can set. And I would encourage you, as you think about those things, don't make them too big and lofty. But instead, think about right now setting a goal for the next week, for the next 2 weeks, for this month of January that's coming up. And be able to attain and grasp onto and achieve those things. And then, as they come to a fruition, set more. More resolution. More goals. This is an ongoing process in our life that needs to be present all the time, not just this time of year. And continually look at them, because our needs change. Things, are different at different times. And so we need to be looking always at that. What can you resolve to do? What can you look at? What can you set as a goal this year to draw you closer unto Christ? To make you a better Christian, a better example of Christ, a better husband, father, sister, mother, brother, pastor, a better anything. Any of those titles we have in this life, any of those jobs. Let us set those goals and make those promises. Secondly, as we think about a resolution. Think about a resolution. We're going to kind of step away from the setting a goal mentality that mostly that's what you think about when you hear the word resolution. But the word resolution can also be defined to mean the definition or quality of an image. When you think about resolution in this way, the greater the resolution of an image, the more clearly one can see the details thereof. If you're buying a TV or you're buying a camera, buying something along those lines, you're going to be thinking about megapixels, and you're going to be thinking about 16 by 9, all these other different things. Everything that has a screen has a resolution. And that resolution, the better quality or the higher that resolution is, the more detail, the more clearly you can see the picture of what is going on, the higher the resolution is, the better it is. And so we apply that also to our life. We need this kind of resolution in our lives this year. We need to have resolution, and the higher that it is, the greater our focus will be upon the Lord. The more details of His Word will be clear to us, visible to us, the greater we will be able to understand His expectations for us in this year, and the more clear we will be able to focus on His will. Think about it. Spiritual resolution enhances our ability to understand the will of God, because it brings it into greater clarity, greater focus. Greater detail is exposed and given to us. So many times the seeking of the will of the Lord is hampered by our own spiritual receptivity. The fact that we are not, or we don't have enough resolution to clearly see what that will is. It's murky. It's distorted. Something's not right. You know, you're watching it in the wrong resolution or the wrong frame or whatever you want to use for the analogy. We need to have a vision, and that vision needs to be of a high spiritual resolution. Look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Now, if you're buying a camera or a TV or a computer or a camera or a phone or whatever, then resolution is going to cost you money. I mean, that's how it goes. The greater the resolution, the more money it's going to cost, the more expensive an item, because the better it's supposed to perform. Spiritual resolution has a price also. That price is dedication. That price is determination. That a price is purpose to achieve and draw closer to the Lord. Takes work. As we seek the Lord, as we read more of His Word, as we draw closer to Him in worship and fellowship, the greater our spiritual resolution will be, the sharper our focus will be, and the more we will understand about the picture that the Lord is presenting to us about this year about our life, about what we're to do. So many times when we don't know what to do, it has to do with this kind of thought. Proverbs 29, verse number 18 came to mind, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Why is he happy? Because he has a vision of what pleases the Lord. He has a clear understanding of what is right and what is wrong, of what pleases God, of the character of God, of the grace of God and mercy of God, all of those things. Why? Because he has the law in view. He has the Word of God in view, and his spiritual resolution is such a great quality. But he has a great vision for life in the service of the Lord. Let us think about resolution this year, not just in a goal that is good and we need to approach it that way, but let us also think about our New Year's resolution and the detail that we see, in the focus we have, in the sharp or the clarity of the image that is before us of the Word of God and what our lives are going to look like in this year. Let us have that kind of resolution also. Ask God to increase it more and more throughout this year. It needs to be greater spiritual resolution. Thirdly, as we think about the thought of resolution, it can also mean the quality of being determined or resolute. So instead of it being an action, like setting a goal, instead of it, you know, being, as we were using it in the idea of picture clarity, can also be a character trait. We don't use it that much in our present language in this way, but we need to be more resolute as a people. The quality of our character needs to be described as having resolve, as being resolute to the purpose and the task at hand. As the hymn goes, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. I am resolved. What a powerful statement of determination. What a powerful statement of godly living in a present evil world, of purpose, of intentionality. To be resolved, let a resolution this year be a character trait that we carry with us, that we call upon God to give us more of. Where is our determination to live godly? Where is our resolve not to give in to temptation and sin? Our resolution needs to be the application of this character trait this year. We need to be a more resolved people. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Fight the good fight, lay hold on eternal life, go forward. That cannot happen without resolve to fight, without resolve to hang on, without resolve to serve God with honor and glory and purpose. So very often, we're guilty of just floating through life. We know that in the rest of our life, if we don't set goals or if we don't have a purpose, nothing's going to get done. But when it comes to our spiritual life, we just expect it all to happen. And so we kind of float through life and we just take it as it comes. And we think that, well, I am what I'm supposed to be. God made me this way. And that can be an escape mechanism. That can be a justification. Because the reality is that we all can be better and can do better. But we need to be determined. We need to be resolute in that arena. We shouldn't just be surviving. We need courage. We need discipline. We need determination. Let us resolve to approach this year with resolution in our action, resolution in our purposes, resolve in our decisions to glorify God in all things. I mean, think about resolution like that. You're going to keep hearing it for the first half of the month of January. Resolution, resolution, resolution. Let it mean to you goals that you set. Let it mean to you clarity of image of the will and word of God and of God himself. Let it mean to you character trait of being determined to be successful in service to God. And then fourthly, And lastly, last way, we'll look at the word resolution. It also means the final disposition of a matter. I mean, think about it that way. The final disposition of a matter. The solution that has been found and applied to a situation. Brother Mike used it this morning too, from Matthew 18, talk about spiritual or conflict resolution. Meaning that a solution to the problem has been found, has been applied, and it no longer exists. It has been resolved. It has been resolved. There are many things in our lives that would benefit from a resolution rather than allowing them to continue to linger on and steal our joy, to continue to linger on and hinder us in the work of the Lord. We won't turn there, but in the Song of Solomon it talks about the little foxes that come and steal the grapes off the vine. That's what happens so many times in our lives. We allow those things to linger on, to hang on, and to just continue to hinder us in life, draining us of our joy, of our happiness, of our strength. There are many feelings, emotions, and situations that remain unresolved. Sometimes because we don't know exactly how to handle them. Sometimes because we're too afraid of what will happen if we do. Or sometimes just because it's somewhat of a security blanket or something along those lines. This certainly deals or could deal with feelings, emotions, situations of, family or job or whatever, but it could also be talking about spiritual things. This is the year, resolve those temptations that hang on and you allow to stay in your life. Resolve that. Fix that. Get it taken care of. That you might, in a greater way, serve the Lord. Same thing with the emotional stuff. I know it's hard, but it's a constant work that has to be done intentionally, and it will be better for our lives, for our service to the Lord, if we will resolve those things. And you know what? That doesn't always mean it's tied up in a pretty bow, and everybody says, I'm sorry, and everybody says, I love you, and everybody says what you want them to say. But it can still be resolved. Can still be resolved. Whether they're talking about family, husband-wife relationships, talking about relationships in the church, relationships in our professional lives, or whatever, we need this kind of resolution. It will honor and glorify the Lord. Look into your life. See what needs to be resolved. Problems that need to be fixed. Things that need to be overhauled. And stop letting them linger on. Be resolved to find those resolutions in your life this year, whatever they may be, wherever they may come from. They will benefit you. They will honor and glorify the Lord. So, in conclusion, as we think about where we began in Isaiah 43, talked about, I will do a new thing. The new in the new year. As we face a new year, it can be overwhelming and difficult. The obstacles, the pitfalls, the storms, the trials, all those things that certainly will come, the temptations, the corrections of the Lord, not to mention the need to look at all these resolutions we've talked about this morning, to be introspective, certainly is overwhelming. And though it is overwhelming to consider, there are some new things that the Lord will do for us this year. He promised that. He said that in Isaiah 43:19, that I will do these new things. I will do a new thing, he said unto them there. Think about this quickly, and we won't turn to these passages, but no matter what happens this year, I know that the Lord will provide me and you with new mercies and compassions. Lamentations 3:22-23 says that, what? They are new every morning. New every morning. Every morning God will provide you with new mercy and new compassion to face the day. Every morning of this year. It will be new. It won't be what you had yesterday. It won't be what you have tomorrow. But it's today. It's new. It's not left over. It's especially given to you. That's God. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He cares for us. That's how much He wants our lives to be bettered. There will be new mercies and new compassion. Psalms 40:3 shows us that there can be new songs. put a new song in our heart. Often, you know, we relate that to salvation, and it certainly does. But you know what? We need new songs in our heart all the time. God will provide those. As we meditate on Him, think upon Him, as we pray and as we worship Him, He will provide those new songs in our heart. We need them, don't we? We allow our flesh and our mind and sometimes our heart to overwhelm us and to cause us to sing the blues. We need a new song, and the Lord provides that. He'll provide it this year. Thirdly, He will also provide new wine. Now, don't fall off your seat. But in Scripture, wine always represents joy and blessings. And in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 10, He says, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." That's what He says. That He will provide us with new wine, new blessings, new joy as we face this coming year. They are promised unto us. God said, "I will do a new thing. I will give you new mercy and compassion. I will give you a new song. I will give you new wine." We also have from Ephesians 4:24 the new man constantly with us. We're instructed to put on, don't we? It says, put on the new man. And that's something we are to do and can do every day to overcome this old flesh. And then Ezekiel 36:26, I'll just read it to you here, says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." This is the year of salvation. And so you can have a new heart this morning. The year before us is crowned, as He says in Psalm 65 and verse 11, with goodness. Part of that goodness is you're coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died upon the cross to save His people from their sins. We're all born sinners in need of a Savior. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him, we know. You can have a new heart. You spend all of this year and every year before it with that old stony heart, trying yourself to change it, trying yourself to make it over, trying yourself to break it up, trying yourself to jumpstart it, trying yourself to change it in some way, and you have failed at every turn. I did too. We all have. But this year could be the year of the new heart, salvation of the Lord. Only He can make that heart transplant. Only He can make that difference. I pray that you'll come to know Him as your Savior today. Let's stand while I still have the mic. Musicians.